There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that says God makes everything beautiful in its season. And this is the theme for this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there's a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. There are seasons, but then it ends and it says, in every season, God makes everything beautiful in its season. And that's the focus scripture for this evening, to know that there's a reason why God does what he does, and that God really does orchestrate our lives. So I'm going to just start by asking you just to introduce yourself just quickly by saying something about yourself. Christine, we can start on that side. And
So I guess Christine. I am not technologically well-equipped. So I'm a physiotherapist, and I've been part of the church for a while. Is that okay? What else?
Ek is Raul en ek is nie Indiër nie wat baie mense al gedink het. En ek is 'n onderwyser by Calling Academy.
I'm Joni Exton and I'm a clinical psychologist.
My name is Nyamega Sonti and I work for an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ.
Hallo, ik denk je is aan.
Hallo, my name is Suzanne and I'm a teacher at Stellenberg High School and I have the privilege of staying with Christine.
Suzanne, you told us a story earlier, so I'm going to ask you and the public just to repeat that story about your famous Korean. You could have been Mrs. Korean.
Okay. It's a little bit embarrassing, but it's okay. I taught English in Korea for 2 years, and I did sports dance. And usually when I tell people that, they go, what? It's sports dance, but there everything was air, like America. So I did sports dance. And there were a few guys who joined us. So we would dance 3 times a week and then hang out afterwards. It wasn't weird. And the one evening, the guy's like, do you want to go for dinner next Tuesday evening? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And 2 days later on the bus, I realized next Tuesday is Valentine's Day. So I actually had a Valentine's date that I didn't know was Valentine's date, which was quite exciting because I'm not used to Valentine's dates. So we went out, and it was super awkward because he doesn't speak English, and I don't speak Korean. So we speak charades. And I'm quite good at charades, so we could kind of communicate. But by the end of the evening, when he took me home, just before he dropped me off, he gave me his little box and a letter, and everything in me went like, what is this? And I just greeted him. I went up to my room, and it was a bracelet, a necklace thingy, and then this letter in Korean and another letter in English. So the English letter is obviously the translation that someone translated for him. And he just said that the 6 months we've known each other went by so fast. He wants to spend the next 60 years with me while I give him a chance. And I was like, what? So I literally, as I was lying, I literally laughed myself to sleep that night, thinking, I don't understand. How is that even possible? Like, we don't speak the same language. We're not the same culture. We don't have the same faith. We've got nothing in common except that we can dance, kind of.
Dance.
So that was
Thank
awkward.
You so much. Thank you. You could have been Korean now. You could have had small Korean children.
They're very cute, though.
Yes. But Philip and Cecile said last week that they couldn't speak they couldn't communicate well in Afrikaans and English, so they decided to kiss in what language? French. French, yeah.
So, thanks for the advice, Phil.
And but just to be blunt, the reason why I asked the people on the panel here tonight is because tonight, and the reason why I don't preach about this evening's message is because I recognize that when you're 19, it's cute to have a talk about your season of loneliness just for now. But when you're 35, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. And I recognize that, and I'm aware of that. But I've known most of these people for a while now, and I know their stories, and to be blunt, the reason why I asked you is because I see in you a meaningful life. I see that I know that all of you have a longing, Raul, a longing that will be met very soon, in just a few weeks, 4 weeks. And then you, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Yeah, then you'll be married. But I know that you really have a longing for a person to share life with, and I'm aware of that. But I can see you living a life of purpose in strong community, and you really seek God. Yeah, I can see that. So tonight I want to ask you this one question, just this one question, and starting with Christine on that side. Christine, how have you come to the point of living joyfully, contently, balancing the longing for someone with finding meaning in today, that today has meaning, that you know that your life is meaningful today and that you are joyful today? Have you come to have a full life balancing the longing for the person? What has the Lord done in your life?
So before I can start with that, I just need to confess my offense towards my pastor. So when he sent me this message a while ago asking if I would be willing to sit on the panel, and then they still called it Finding Joy in the Single Season. And immediately as I wrote that WhatsApp, something just was not lacking in my inside. And I didn't know what it was, but I had this gunk feeling inside of me. So I was busy with patients. It was at work. So I realized I need to put this aside, and I couldn't answer him immediately. And it was weird for me because I really, over the last few years, felt like I've come to terms with the season that I'm in and really embracing it and finding peace within it. So it was strange for me, my reaction. So I parked it, and I realized I will have to save it for the evening with my quiet time. And as I went to my room that evening, I really just sit with the Lord, and I was like, Lord, I'm not sure what's going on inside of me, but I don't like what's going on inside of me. And just come and meet me. And I experienced him asking, or I just sensed that he asked me, why are you so angry at Ross? And my immediate reaction without thinking about it was, I cannot believe that he wants to shame me like that. And it was strange for me because never before has that thought crossed my mind that it's shameful to be 35 and single. And it was so beautiful for me to sit in that moment, and I was in turmoil because for the first time, this was maybe not the first time really, but I was sitting with it and I just spoke with the Lord and we had a conversation and I was reading scripture and I just realized in my heart that the constant rejection that we sometimes feel and experience leads to shame in a sense. And I specifically remember, I think it was 2 years ago, it was a moment where I also listened to a woman, she was older, and she was single, and she was telling a story, and I thought, oh, wow, that's amazing, but Lord, please let that not be me one day. It was obviously way further back than 2 years, but I realized that there was a feeling of shame inside of me being single at the age of 35, and I had a conversation with the Lord that night, and I was really honest with him and just sitting with him, and I felt in a moment where he put his hand on my shoulder and saying, it's not the truth. I've clothed you with dignity and strength. And the beauty of it, I'm so grateful for our Lord who actually exposes these lies. I didn't know it was in my heart. And it's a continuous process, but I want to start off with, he's so faithful, and it's a continuous process, but he exposes all these things that we believe that's not the truth, and it keeps us bondage. And so if I can just share my story. I've been single all my life, so I haven't been in a relationship before, and it never bothered me until I turned 29. And my 29th birthday was hell for me. It felt like a begrafenis. And it took me completely off guard. But then one night I realized I wasn't at 29 where I thought I would be. I thought I would be married at least with one kid at that stage. And then it was a few years of really struggling through this, and but I can remember three distinct moments where the Lord intervened and where the change slowly started happening. And the first moment was with a friend where we were driving, and it was something happened that I can't even remember what it was. But I was in a bad space about my singleness, and I was crying, and I was feeling sorry for myself. And we were just driving, and I just blurt out everything in front of her, and I complained about this, and I was offended with that, and it was just, I went for it. And she allowed me to speak, And then at the very end, she just gently, so she's married, and we've been in a relationship for a long time, a friendship. To clarify that, she's married to a man. We've had a friendship for a few years. And we have this very deliberate accountability relationship. So she has freedom to speak into my life, how difficult it might be. And she was just silent, and with a lot of love, she just looked at me and she said, Christina, as jy vandag moet doodgaan, would you feel like if you were to die today unmarried, would you feel like you lived an unfulfilled life? And in that moment, it was like cold water on my face, because I knew the right answer would be, I would have lived a fulfilled life because God is enough for me. But in that moment, I couldn't say that. And I went home, and it was a few days for really struggling with the Lord, and realizing it's been an idol in my life. It became such a big thing for me that it nullified everything else that was in my life and that was going on in my life. So that was the biggest, I think, turning point in my life, where I moved from a moment or a season of waiting into actually deliberately pursuing a season of living. And then the second moment that I remember, I'm not sure how many, I think it was 2 years ago when we also had the relationship series, and I'm not sure if that's what you said, Ross, but that's what I heard. So I'll just tell you what I heard that evening. In a moment, Ross was speaking, and just to backtrack a little bit, for a long time I felt guilty for not being okay with my season. And or after that moment of realizing it's been an idol and letting go of it, I still felt guilty for actually desiring to get married. Because I felt like usually married people tell you, find your contentment in God because He's your husband in this season. And then I felt guilty for not being able to let go of this desire. And that evening, Ross explained to us that, during the sermon, he explained the situation during the creation where God created Adam. And it was in the Garden of Eden, and it was still a perfect environment. No sin had happened at that stage. And then God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And in that moment, God didn't decide to fulfill that need of man with him. He actually decided to create a woman. And in that moment, that guilt of having this desire really just fell off me. It was amazing how that truth just set me free, in a sense, of this feeling guilty of still desiring this. And then the third moment that I can remember was also one night when I was having quiet time, and it was a season of just reading Psalm 139. And I'm quite well acquainted with the scripture. But then that one evening, one verse that says, all the days ordained for me were written in the book of life before even one of them came to be. And I've known those words before, but in that night, God really came to meet me, and suddenly I realized maybe it's not a mistake where I am. For a long time, I thought, what did I do wrong? Why am I still single at the age of 35? Or am I not good enough? Or one of the things that people told me quite often was, like, you're very intimidating. And I always felt like, but it's my fault that I'm still single. And in that moment, I realized, but maybe if all the days of my life were ordained, all the days ordained for me were written in the book before even one of them came to be, then maybe the season that I am in is the season that the Lord planned for me. And I realized in that moment that I actually need to be faithful with the season that He's placed me in. And that really triggered me to start seeking deliberately what He has placed in front of me and what I need to pursue and what I need to be faithful with. So those were the three turning points, really, of moving my mindset from waiting into living. There's a few... How much time do I still have left? Because there's a few things that I really struggled with and frustrations which I haven't shared. Okay. So a few things that What I want to say, so it sounds like I moved then from a season of waiting to living, and it's now all happy and rosy. But it's not. So it's a difficult season, and it's sometimes even a painful season. But it's really a season of, I can honestly say, a season of joy and contentment as well. And one of the biggest things that I need to look out for is self-pity, those moments where your singleness are right up in your face. And all your, so I'm not in the stage of people getting married anymore. I'm now at the stage of people getting babies. And that moment of everyone has their things to do. So suddenly, because all my friends are married and have babies, my routine also changed. So sometimes I feel like self-pity, like there's no understanding for where the season I'm in. And everyone has moved on and you're still stuck behind. But so that's the one thing that I really need to look out for is self-pity. And the other thing is fear sometimes. Fear of loneliness, fear of the future, or fear of I think loneliness is the biggest thing. And what I can say, or provision is actually the other thing, and I can just say the hand of the Lord has been so faithful. So over the years, there's always been someone at my side. There's always been, he's always provided someone for that specific season, or he's always provided provision for a season. So the other thing that I sometimes struggle with is the thought of you don't have a voice in society because you don't have experience of life because you haven't been married yet. And the other day, I had to confess my offense again. The other day I was at a baby dedication of a friend, and one of the ladies came to me, and I've known her for a while. She's a few years younger than I am. She's been married for a while, and she has an 8-year-old boy. And we started talking, and it was just such a good conversation. And she just then confided in me with the struggle of they're trying to fall pregnant again, and the difficulty she's going through and how difficult it is for her. So I started empathizing and saying that I do get the frustration of waiting, and you're trusting for something and it's not coming through. And she looked at me, she's like, how would you know? You're not even married yet. And in that moment, I was like, I cannot believe this is happening. And I walked away, so we greeted each other. And then I went to sit in the car, and there was such a turmoil within me. And the first thing that came to mind is, you don't have a voice because you don't have experience. And then the Lord said to me, I actually just felt this grace coming over me for this lady who is so stuck in her pain that she can't see the world around her. And I just saw myself in that moment. You're so stuck in your own pain, you're so stuck in the situation that you are, that you take offense with other people and you don't realize the pain that they're in. And I've just realized in that moment that every single season has its challenges, and that we need to actually face it up front. Yeah.
Very, very well spoken, Christine. I forgive you for the offense that you took against me. And I'm so glad that you also quote my sermons. So can you just take note? When she was angry at me, the Lord said, why are you angry at Ross, my chosen servant? Watch it. Suzanne, maybe because you all stay in the same community house, maybe you can talk next, because she said something that reminded me of what you said about, people moving on in life.
Okay, so I've also been single for my whole life. So singleness is something I'm very used to. And to be honest, when we got this text to ask if we were going to be on the panel, I also thought, sure. And you have to share, like, your frustrations and stuff. And I'm like, okay, that means we have to be vulnerable. So, sorry, here it is. So I also thought at university, starting from school and going through university, every now and again, I would feel sorry for myself and think I'm the only single girl in the whole world, and then think, well, will I ever get a husband or a boyfriend at school? And then I would just go sit down and kind of see the bigger picture and realize how much the Lord has actually provided and how much he's done in my life and put people in my life. So also to be thankful for the things that I do have and stop complaining about the things that I don't have. So that was a struggle from time to time. And I think one of the most difficult things for me is to trust for something that you don't have control over. Like at school, you trusted that you will do well in matric, and you kind of do, and then you trust for what you do after school, and I did service year, and I trusted for my degree or to go to Stellenbosch, and I could go there, and I trusted for my degree, and in my final year, I trusted to pass all my subjects, and I kind of did. Most of them. And then I trusted the Lord for, okay, what now? I have some study debt, so I went to Korea for 2 years, which was amazing. And then you come back, you trust for a job, and I got a job. And then you trust for a husband, and then you trust for a husband. I was like, thank you, Lord. You've really provided everything else. But hello, can't you see what's next on my list? So I felt that. And some of the frustrations, I think what Christine also mentioned, is the thing of feeling like you never grow up. I'm one of four children, and two of my siblings are married, and it seems like the first holiday after they got married, I felt like my sister and I were not married. We still sleep in the kinderkamer. We still sleep in the hok. It's like everyone else has these nice double bedrooms, and you get the room with the five beds in it. And it's obviously it works out for logistical reasons, but it's one of those things you just feel, flip, am I always going to be a child until I get married? Or you get out of sync with your peers. And I thought about this, I think maybe last year. Till when are you young working? Because I'm 35, is that still young working? Just because I'm not married. So there are a few things that society doesn't really define because you're just young working. So unmarried, so you're young working. There you go. Okay, the biggest frustration for me was losing your person. When I stayed with my sister in Stellenbosch, so we would make dinner together over weekends. We would go for braais and kuiers, and we would do everything together. And then as time went on, she got a boyfriend, and all of a sudden it's like, so what are we having for dinner? Oh, no, my boyfriend and I are going there. What are you doing this weekend? No, we're going to his family in Eiserfontein. So all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what am I doing this weekend? You can't just leave me. So it's making peace with the fact that your person gets another person. And that has happened quite a lot in my life. And at some stage, I think you kind of build a wall in your heart because you're just like, Lord, I can't do this every single time. So you feel like you don't want a best girlfriend anymore because they should find a best boyfriend and marry them. And that should happen. So you're really, really glad for them, but still it's a difficult part to be the one that's not chosen. And that's one thing that I've had to deal with a few times in my life is not being the chosen one. Having good friends and then they get girlfriends and then you are the one not chosen. And then taking that to the Lord and taking it to the Lord and really allowing him to work through that and to heal me in that. A few years ago, I was still living in Stellenbosch, and that evening as I got ready to go to bed, there's just a word that fell in my heart, and I just heard, you're going to be someone's second chance at love. And I was just like, yes, that's right. If God is a God of second chances, then why should I not be? So I have that word, and that's all I know. I don't know how and when and where, but I know it's from the Lord, and that's enough for me. And a few weeks later, I was driving home. It was a cold, wintry day, and was one of those, okay, Lord, seriously, when am I ever going to get a husband days? And I thought to myself, what if the Lord would ask me today, do you want me to give you someone now, or are you willing to wait a little bit longer so I can give you someone that I've actually prepared for you? And then I would obviously say, yes, I'll wait. So that was the end. I think that was the last day that I went into those selfish, I wanted now modes. that I actually trusted the Lord to be like, but I know that He knows. And Raul has a WhatsApp status that I like, so I stole it or took it. It says, I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. And when I realized that, and I realized, but God really sees my heart and He knows my desires. And sometimes if I look to the things that He has not given me, I forget about all the things that He actually has given me. And I've really lived a full life, or I am living a full life. And I really see how His hand is providing in everything that I need. And also in this season, and I realized that I've surrendered my life to God many years ago. So I'm not in control anymore. I'm not really the one who can say, I want this and I want that. And He's not my genie in a bottle. But to allow God to satisfy my needs in the season and then to live out the season that I'm in. So as a teacher, I can really go full out at school. I really have a lot of time that I can spend there. Also at functions and after hours, people with... who have families, it's difficult for them. They've got to divide their time between that. But I am privileged enough to only have to look after myself. So I'm single. I have my own time. I can do what I want when I want. And to really embrace that. And I really enjoy that as well. And also be willing to serve my community and the people around me. I have the privilege of staying in a community house. And there are two families living with us. And also in that, to be an extra pair of hands. So if our one housemate, if she would call me sometimes and just be like, if you on your way home, can you just pick up some milk? And for me, it's really not an effort. I really just stop, get the milk, get in the car, and come back home. Wait for her to get the kids in the car and to get everyone ready to go to the shop and just to keep them all together at the shop. It's a mission. Well, for me, I can really do that. So to really experience how the Lord can use me where I'm at now to serve my world, my work, to serve at school and my world, and to really experience how He places people in my life. Also, companionship. Christine and I ran our first 12K today. Sorry. So, yes, we might look fitter than we did last week. Okay, I think that's it.
Raul.
Oh, I've got one more story. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
I realized in the beginning of the year, I was walking next to the beach and I felt the Lord ask me, or actually I thought to myself, what if I only get married in 10 years? What will I do for the next 10 years? And it's to realize, to stop being in that limbo season of, I can't really commit too much because you never know. Maybe I'm getting married this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after, I don't know. But to be rooted. To settle down and to get rooted and to do what you want to do and to live full out in the season and allow God to come do what He has to do in this season, in every season.
That's good. Well, I was wondering, so you'll have to speak up. I wanted to add another man to the panel, but then I looked at this beard and this person. I'm thinking we have enough testosterone right there. Raul, can you identify with Suzanne? I was wondering when she was speaking, could you identify with her saying, you know, all her girlfriends are getting married and then she's left behind type of thing and she feels as though everyone moves on. Could you identify with that?
Yes, Rosanna, I look young, but I'm turning 34 this year. I wanted to have two kids already, but... So I could identify because I also had a time in my life where I like felt, excuse my English, sometimes I'm a math teacher, but just bear with me. I felt like I did something wrong maybe. Am I doing something wrong? Am I not hearing God's voice? What's going on? People around you is getting married or... you lose some of your friends. So it was difficult, and it came to a stage where I almost like, it was difficult for me to pray about it, because pray for a wife, and then you
meet a girlfriend or there's a girlfriend in your life and you think this is maybe possibly the one, but you don't really know if you're hearing God's voice or are you, is it yourself, you know, your desires and self. It's very difficult. It started becoming a difficult thing to pray about. And also, I must go on now. Sorry, I wasn't, must I just answer that question or talk now? Okay. And you can get quite stagnant in your life. Like, I studied 7 years to wait for a wife at university. That didn't happen. then I realized I must move on. So, from one thing to the next. But for me, I just want to add to what Suzanne said. And when I realized that, when I realized, like, I must go on with my life and get rooted and don't think, like, where this or where that or whatever. If I can go on with my life and serve the Lord and walk in that, then whatever happens, happens, because God is in control. And out of that, I was teaching at a time in Nelspruit, and I was staying with my parents, and we've got a very good relationship, and I almost stayed there. And I did this, I got a opportunity to come to Cape Town, or I could stay there. And at that time in my life, I think if I didn't, like, really followed, like, I was really, like, I prayed a lot about it, and I felt I had to, like, come to Durbanville, and from there, I stopped being stagnant. Okay, now I'm losing a little bit of the flow here for me, but that was a lot of difficult stuff for me, but out of that, and when I'm looking back now, I can see God's plan, and not just because I'm engaged now, I'm getting married. Before that, I started feeling like, you can build so many relationships while I'm here, and I have so many good friends that, like, you're accountable for each other, and you have time for that. Now that you, in a new season of your life, you realize, like, yo, that was really special. There's something else special now, but that was really special, and it's something you're gonna miss as well. So it's not, there's pros and cons to both sides. And for me, like, out of that, I started getting purpose in my life, because also, like, I realized, I think somewhere it dropped that, like, I'm okay with who I am, because I started to know God, and when that dropped, I started living, and then you can start. Then I felt like I started living with purpose, and there was purpose in my life. I don't need to be married or this or that, because I was walking with the Lord. Yeah, and but because I realized somewhere, I think a lot of times we think, just if I just get that, then it will be okay. And then you get it, and for a while it's okay, it's better, and you're like, ah, now I'm happy. And then it's the next thing. And if you don't realize that early in your life, I think you can chase stuff the whole time. So for me, that was also a thing. And out of that, like, yeah, I was just, you're privileged, and I had a lot of time to spend at school with the relationships with the kids. Not like relationships, but relationships. just if you wanted. I think for me, the last thing, I think if I look back, the biggest thing is the devil always gets us focusing on what you don't have or what's bad in your life. He even got to do it with Adam. Like, he showed him, like, all the trees he can eat from, and then there's this one tree that he can't eat from, and the one thing he focuses on is the one tree. And that, when I realized that, and I started feeling I'm okay with myself and I know the Lord, I felt I got purpose in my life, and it was just like,
But your purpose is really admirable. So for those of you who don't know Raul, Yeah, he really throws himself into the... He stayed in the hostel here in Durbanville High School, and then he moved now to another special school. And what he's doing there is really admirable, to pour his life into those youngsters, because he has meaning and he has capacity to do that now. So your legacy is rich. You've sown so much, and it's meaningful. It's meaningful. It's good. You used your season well. Like, no can I throw?
Can I add one thing, Ross? Because I read this the other day and I almost felt it in worship. I read that part where the... God, Mary, or whoever poured the oil onto Jesus. And a lot of people, they were like, why don't you save that money to do something else? And it was just that thing for me about Jesus said, I'm here now. Spend or do this. This is special what she's doing. And wherever you are in your life, if you can, what you be busy with, you, that's special and you must do that. Don't think about all the other stuff. You know?
It was a time when I was single working in the Air Force and as an engineer. And I thought the Air Force is a good space, but some of my friends got bought out. So their bursaries got bought out at other big aero companies. And I thought, you know, I'm a great engineer. I wasn't, but I thought so. And then the Lord, same thing. He just heard. One day, so I'm fighting with God in my quiet time, saying, God, I have been faithful, and I've fulfilled my season now here. It's time for you to move me. And then I just clearly heard the Lord say to me, Ross, who determines whether you are faithful and whether you fulfilled your season? And I'm like, thank you, God. You determine. But it was good for me just to know that, yeah, I did what I had to do in my season. Yameka, please tell us.
Hi, Ross. Yeah, I think like any other girl or most girls, I think you start planning your wedding when you're 6 years old. Thinking that when basically you plan everything until the guy fits in, right? And you're like thinking, okay, yeah, everything is going to be sorted out. So I was no different. So I was like that as well. And when I got saved, when I was 21, I had this picture that at 25 I'll be married. And then at 27, I'll have fed my first kid. And then eventually I'll have 4 kids. At 24, actually, I met this guy and he said, okay, within a year, we're going to get married. We're going to buy a house here. This is a car, da, 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 da. And I just got scared. I was like, I cannot do this. I'm too young for this. So he really did try to sort of pursue me for like a year, but I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think I'm ready. And fast forward, there was another guy as well. Actually, a few years later, there was another guy, but it didn't work out. We were going to get married, but it actually didn't work out. And obviously in that season and in those disappointments, I've had to look at 3 things for my life. I've had to look at, I had to recalibrate, I had to reshape, and I had to refocus. I think most of you or some of you will have gone through that season now. You're giving God ultimatums. If it doesn't happen this time, this was going to happen. I've been through all of that, but I've had to learn to recalibrate. And my recalibration, basically, I had to look at the fact that God is in control. He is sovereign. As much as he created this whole heaven and earth and everything in it, he loves me too. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for me. He can see me. He can see what I'm going through. And in the grander scheme of things, God has actually allowed for me to succeed his immutable plan for salvation. God allows for me to be able to share people about the gospel and actually get people saved. God has given me platforms of influence in my life where I'm able to disciple young ladies. A few months ago, actually, I was at the University of the Western Cape and I was sharing the gospel, and 2 young ladies came to the Lord. And then on Friday, I met up with those ladies and it was our discipleship time. Not a lot of people are privy to that, but God has allowed for me to be able to see that kind of thing happen right in front of me. And I had to look at the fact that reshape, what does reshape mean? Basically, I am blessed, but how does it look like for me to be blessed if life is like a picket fence? You've got your husband, you've got your 2 children, 2.5 children, you've got your house, and you've got your 2 cars, and maybe 2 dogs and 2 cats. How does that look like for me who doesn't have any of those things? And I looked at the fact that it's a scripture in 1 Timothy 6 verse 8 that says that all we really need is food and shelter. I've got those. So God has blessed me. And one other thing, I realized that God has done so much. You just look at things that the Lord has done. God has done so much for me, through me and for me, just basically zooming his lenses on me. He has done so much for me. And basically also the other third part is I just had to refocus. I can enjoy my single life. It's not a punishment. God is not punishing me. God is not paying me back for things I didn't do or did or things I did that I shouldn't have done. It's not about that. I can see his purpose in my life. I can see his role in my life, and just being in a community house as well, being able to live with other people and have a full life and see that God's perfect plan is still perfect in me. I live my life knowing that right now that I would love to get married. Yes, that's good. But if I don't get married, that's also very good.
Amazing, Yamato. So Joni, you have 2.5, 3 kids, 2 cars and a house, a husband, and dogs.
I don't meet that criteria, unfortunately. Yeah, just for the record, I am happily married. I have been for 10 years this year to a fantastic husband who I am very, very grateful for. God has really blessed us, and we've got 3 kids. I'm also severely sleep deprived. We don't have the dogs, but we really have a good life. I'm just thinking this week, and with Ross asking me to talk, you know, every season has got good and bad in it. And I've heard some of us. I feel like I don't need to talk. Like, I've just listened to everyone and I don't need to talk. Every season has got good and bad in it. And if we focus on the bad in our seasons, we're going to miss the good. And even in the season that I'm in at the moment, where it looks like this perfect, wonderful life, and we do have a good life. I really enjoy my life. But there are things that I want at the moment that I can't have, because it's not my season. That doesn't mean that there's going to be a time that that's not met for me, but it isn't right now, and that's okay for various reasons. A couple of years back, I started a PhD, and I was doing my PhD, and Jan and I decided we wanted to have another child, and we had a miscarriage, unfortunately. And it was really this massive, massive halt for me. You see, my whole life, academic achievement, formulating myself professionally and growing and developing was a really large part of my identity. My sister's in the audience, and she will agree that's how we were raised. And it was great. But just in that moment, God said to me, you have to stop. This isn't the right season. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be your season later, but it's not your right season now. Yes, and it was hard, because that's not really what I wanted to do. But out of that, I was able to bear fruit in other areas of my life, friendship particularly, and that's what I want to chat about tonight. But also in terms of my work with people, which just actually flourished. And I was able to see things around me that I was missing because I was so focused on certain things that was actually my agenda and not God's. So I want to speak to you tonight about friendship, because I think it's one of the things that we can easily miss when we focus on that relationship that we don't get. And I particularly tonight want to tell you something that God shared with me a couple of years ago, and he reminded me about a couple of months ago again, and that is that I need to love him with everything that I have, and I need to love my neighbor, and I need to love my friends with everything that I have. But I have to remember that only he can love me perfectly. And so when we go and look for that love or that thing to complete and to fulfill us in people, we're really going to miss it and we're going to get hurt. And I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to pull a CS and tell you to what? Say it to your neighbor or whatever later. I'll do that later. And I have notes because, as I've already mentioned, I'm sleep deprived, so my memory is not great. God, like marriage, God has put friendship in our life to bless us. It's really a blessing. And just while we were worshiping, I got this image, and I want to speak it over you now, particularly this service, how absolutely blessed you are, and how there's an anointing over you, and it's going to draw young working adults and older working adults, how you guys are going to particularly go into the marketplace and have a sense of community here that you're going to go and share in the world. I can't do that for you, and God can't do that for you. You have to take it. And that's what friendship is also about. It's about taking that gift that God has given you. But friendship's not easy. Friendship is hard. Relationships are hard because we are unfortunately not perfect. And so any relationship is not perfect. And it goes through ups and downs, and we have to work at it. And we have to want to give more than what we want to receive. And the amazing thing about friendships is it's never too late to start, restore, or maintain one.
Yes.
Doesn't matter where you are in your life, whether you're 80, you can make a friend. I personally don't have a great track record, I will be honest. I think I only really clicked the whole friendship thing after I had my kids, because before that I was really selfish. I was like, get on my bus or get off. You can choose. I don't think I'm like that anymore. I hope not.
Joni, sorry, just because I am included in your friendship circle. Yeah, to the degree to which you feel comfortable. Don't you want to share a little bit of your friendship journey in the last 2 years?
Yeah, so I'll leave the mom's preconcept for a bit later. But anyways, so basically, you know, when we go through difficult things in our lives, we end up, and this is how I know that we have a deep need for connection. Whenever the pawpaw hits the fan, people walk into my office and the first thing they say is they feel alone, isolated, and rejected. And that just proves to me that we have a need to connect, even if we lie to ourselves and we say we don't. So now when I went through my difficult time and after the miscarriage and I had a whole identity crisis about where I was supposed to be going in my life, the first thing that I unfortunately or fortunately focused on was relationships and friendships, and particularly the friendships that weren't so great. And I don't know about you, but sorry really doesn't come easily for me. I like my 3-year-old to my 5-year-old or however old she is, it's hard to say sorry. It's hard to be vulnerable, and it's hard to restore relationships. And in particular, there were two relationships that I felt that I needed to work on and restore. And it was incredible when I realized that, because God, He did it. Like, I felt Him literally working through me, and I could really act out of a place of humility in order to do that. And what an incredible journey and blessing it has been. I really felt closer to God, and I also felt, and obviously when we restore and we start to work on relationships, there's a deepening of relationships. There's also a deepening of relationship when we spend time with people, when we create memories with people. And I'm going to just touch on this thing that I call the mama's free concept. A gentleman once walked into my office and sat down and really complained about coming into church and feeling isolated and alone for a very long time. He complained a lot of the fact, and he's probably going to watch this, and he's in a good place now, so that's great. But he came in and he said he's just so lonely here, and people just aren't welcoming like they are in Malmesbury. I said, in Malmesbury? And he said, yeah, because there you just fall, you're full net in by iemand. You can go over to your neighbor and everybody's best friends, and it's just fantastic and great. And that's not true. I'm sure it's nice in Malmesbury, but it's not like that. It's not like that anyway, because life is life. And you can't be friends with everyone. You're going to be friends with certain people that you have common ground with, and you're not going to be friends with everyone. And it's really important just to understand that and to move from that. Did I answer your question? Okay, so the thing is about friendships in terms of making new friendships. People often say to me they really try and they really struggle to make friends. And I always say to my grade one, you know, if that girl runs away from you at break time and she doesn't want to play with you, by all means, go and talk to someone else. Like, why? Why do you go back to that girl again? She's a new friend. You can go and see someone, try someone else. Try and try and try again. And by the third time, if you've tried, then it's really important that you take just a step back and say, but what about, and this is really important that you hear this carefully, what about my behavior is possibly causing people to not relate to me? Unfortunately, what people often do is they internalize rejection and make it a part of their identity. And it's not necessarily who you are, But sometimes in the start of relationships, we're a bit weird. We just are. It's weird. We don't know people. We struggle to be vulnerable. We're just not really ourselves. Which lets me think as well, being vulnerable in relationships is really great. It really deepens relationships, and you really need to get to a place of, yeah, really being able to be honest. And it was just what I so love about this panel tonight. Everybody is just so honest about where they are in their lives. I think that's why you guys are living purposeful lives. But anyways, now I've lost my track. What did I want to say about being vulnerable? Oh, so I've also had people say to me, you know, you tell me to be vulnerable with people, and so I have a coffee date with someone, and then at my second coffee date, and I shared my whole heart with her. My whole heart I shared with her, everything about me, and still there's like no acceptance. Whoever you just shared your whole heart with, you has no context for your heart. If I shared my whole heart with somebody on a second coffee date, they're going to run for the hills and think I'm a nut. Okay? Every relationship, it's like growing, it's like teething problems and things like that. Developmentally appropriate. Two developmentally appropriate things. So when you're starting to get to know one, you can't share your whole heart with them. Wait a bit till they get to know your context and understand you a bit better, you know. So these are just examples of sometimes of types of behavior that we sometimes engage in that's a bit weird. Then just in terms of restoring relationships, like I've mentioned in my own life, just restoring relationships, I think, is really God's heart. And it's just an incredible place to be, because like you can't get any more humble. And when you can't get any more humble, God can do amazing things. And then you disarm the devil, which is awesome. And then the last thing I want to say is just to maintain relationships. Relationships are important, and what you put in, you're going to get out. So if you don't connect with people and you don't really share your heart with people and you don't give, and very important, which is also something that I heard here tonight, we need to serve. We need to have a serving heart. And when we serve in relationships, we will there will come a lot of fruit from that.
So again, I want to thank you. So tonight, I ask you to share. And thank you for being so vulnerable. Thank you for being so honest. Thank you for being entertaining at times as well. This is a heavy conversation. But thank you so much, Christine and Raul. Thank you, Joni, Nyameka, and Suzanne for displaying and revealing something about your heart, about how you find meaningful engagement in your life now, in the season that you're in now, to find meaning, that God actually has a plan. Everything is, God has made everything beautiful in its season. You are beautiful in your season now, to find fulfillment in that. And especially the stories about engaging your purpose, what God has called you to do, finding meaning in that, finding meaning in your pursuit in God himself, in desiring. And that's what's so beautiful in my stories. And every time that I listen to people's stories of the last 3 weeks, this is what I find. It's like they will tell engagements and encounters with the Lord that brought them strength. The reality that I am not alone, but God really is here with me. And therefore, I know that I'm not alone. I haven't missed God. I haven't fallen off the bus somewhere, the bus. I haven't fallen off the bus at some point, but the Lord is really carrying me. And then the last one, to just find engagement and meaning in your friendships, where you are now, to really find meaning, because you are a friend to others, to find meaning and fulfillment there. So don't you want to close your eyes? And your eyes closed, I just want to say to you that you are God's delight. You are God's chosen person, and you are God's holy person set aside for him. Mm-hmm. The Lord has not forgotten you, and he has not forgotten his plans and his purposes with you. Like Christine said, the whole book is written. Every single day, every single encounter is written. The Lord has prepared good things for you. Mm-hmm. In this season, God is with you, and he's taking you to where you are. Trust more in God's ability to lead you than in your ability to follow him. He is the shepherd. He will lead you. Trust that he will lead you. He has not forgotten you.
For no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our firm foundation. Whatever it is that goes on in our lives, the turmoils, the frustrations, the joys, even the nonchalant type of situations in our life, you are our foundation. Jesus, I really just thank you, my God, that we can come unto you. As much as you are our foundation, you're also our rock. Thank you, we have this rock that does not turn, that does not change, that does not wither. You are right there with us and for us. And at this time, Father God, and so many people here tonight feeling so many things, but we just pray that, Father God, you become their rock, you become their foundation on anything that they go through, Father God. We thank you that you're God that loves us, that you care for us, each and every one of us, oh God. We can count, all of us can count the many ways in which you love us, the many ways in which you have blessed us, the many ways which we can experience your love on a daily basis. We pray, Jesus, that, Father God, whatever it is that needs comfort in our lives, oh God, you meet us there first. Father God, our friends, our spouses can meet, but Father God, you are the one that meets everything where it's supposed to be. And you set things according to how they're supposed to be in our lives. So I pray, Father God, right now that you become that rock and that foundation that we need. In Jesus' name.
Father God, thank you that you are a good, good Father. Thank you that you do not change and that you're not a respecter of persons, that what you could do for us, Lord, you could do for each one sitting here in front of us tonight, Lord. Father, thank you that I've never seen you intimidated with our tears or our honesty. And I pray, Father, that you will give us the ability to become raw and honest and naked before you, Father, because you are the healer and you are the one who brings hope. I pray that you will bless us with the ability to see that the days measured out for us are beautiful. Father, I pray that you will give us the ability to see the opportunities that you've placed in front of us, that we will have the ability to live a life of purpose and fulfillment within the context that you've placed us. And Father, thank you that you are a healer. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that you restore.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.